You know, this time of year is a special time of year. I've always loved it as a kid, listening to Christmas carols and getting to the heart of the season. I really love Christmas. I love to give gifts. I love to think about things to give people, and it's a fun time of year. And as we've been talking here lately about the Holy Spirit, and I want to hit another aspect about the Spirit this morning. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to go through two scriptures, hopefully this morning, if we get to both of them. And it talks about the Spirit. First one's in John 4, 23 and 24. It says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The other scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 3:16. "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Please be seated. The Spirit. I was so taken by this. These two verses have been in my mind as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for weeks and weeks. And I thought, man, I want to make sure we talk about this. I want to make sure we have some time. And so I thought, well, I know he did the whole thing on the Holy Spirit, and I know it's Christmas coming up, but I think this will also tie into it. When we look at that first scripture in John chapter 4, it's the woman at the well, and I think a lot of us know that story. If you're not familiar with it, Jesus is going to Galilee, and instead of going, they usually went over to the Jordan, went up the Jordan, and then came back into Galilee because they didn't want to go through Samaria. But Jesus wants to especially go through Samaria. He actually wants to go through into a city in Sychar, and that's where they're at, this woman at the well. He asked the woman to give me a drink, and as they get in the dialogue there, he starts talking to her and says, If you knew who I was, you would have asked for living water. And that was confusing to her. She didn't understand what that meant. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking about, hey, why don't you bring your husband down here and we'll talk about this some more. And she goes, well, I don't have a husband. And he nails her with the idea that, well, you've had five and the one you're living with right now isn't your husband. And she says, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Yep, that's good news. And then she starts to try to divert the conversation a little bit. And she talks about, where should we worship? Should we worship here on this mountain at Mount Gerizim? Or should we worship in Jerusalem? So we worship in the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus then, in verse 20, 21, says this. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain in Gerizim nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." And he says, you worship what you do not know. Really important here. He's talking about these people in Samaria. He's talking about their worship. And they had kind of mixed a lot of idol worship with worship of God. They had mixed a number of things together. They were worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. They were worshiping idols. They were worshiping all sorts of different things at this time. And he says, I know that you worship something higher. You worship all sorts of things, but you don't know any of them. Pretty hard to just know the sun if you don't have a personal relationship with like the S-U-N or the moon or some idol made out of wood or metal or gold or whatever. You can't know it. You can't relate with it. It's not personable. It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have anything. It can't relate with you. And he talks about this concept about knowing. It's important here. You worship what you do not no. And you know, there's many people today that worship things that they do not know. And some people even worship the Lord and they do not know Him. Do not know Him at all. They know of some form, some formality, some religiosity, some formalized thing that you must do. But they don't know Him in relationship. They know religiosity. But they don't know relationship. And he's talking about this concept of knowing. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship. We know Him. We know what we worship. Because we have relationship with our God. For salvation is of the Jews. We worship a God that you can know personally. A God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The creator of everything. The woman worshipped the results of creation. She worshipped the creation. But the creator, the one who made it all, is one we can know. And we can know Him personally. It goes back to Romans 1 where they're talking about people that worship the creation rather than knowing the creator. Worship creation, worship stuff, worship things, worship ideologies, but we can have a living, alive relationship with the God of the universe, a personal relationship where we can know each other. And He was trying to get this concept across. You can know Me. And in verse 23 He says, but the hour is coming, and now is, it's now. This hour is now. When true worshipers, say that with me, true worshipers. I want to talk about what is true worship. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He's looking for them. God is, say it with me, spirit. God is spirit. And those who truly worship, who worship Him, who are true worshipers, must worship Him in spirit and truth. I want to look at this and pull it apart a little bit. This idea that God is spirit. God is spirit. Not that, what does that mean? The word spirit is used over 600 times in the scriptures. This concept of spirit is very important, a very important biblical concept. But God is spirit. Not God is a spirit. God isn't a spirit. God is spirit. There's no article in the Greek text before the word spirit. And the emphasis, it emphasizes the quality or essence of the word. Furthermore, the word spirit occurs first in the sentence for emphasis. If you took the literal translation of God is spirit, it would read like this. Absolutely spirit is the essence of God. And that's what he was trying to get across. Absolutely spirit is the essence of God. What does that mean? What does it mean that God is a spirit? What does it mean that He is spirit? He is spirit. I want to give you 4 points about what this aspect of Him being spirit means and what does that mean to us? Because it's very important. It's very, very important. What does it mean that He is spirit? It means, number one, that He's alive. The very word spirit, pneuma, means breath. It's the whole evidence that something's alive. It's breathing, right? It's breathing. It's transpiring. It's breathing. It's taking in oxygen and it's exhaling oxygen. You get this breath that's happening. It's a living. He's a living being. He's the living God, it says in Joshua and Thessalonians and Psalms. My heart and my flesh joy for the living God. He's alive. He's not some piece of stone. He's not some moon or star. He's alive. And He's alive inside of us. And He's moving and He has thoughts and plans and purposes. That's our God. This spirit means breath, means alive. Secondly, the word spirit, He is a person. Even though God is spirit, He's also a living, personal being that we can know personally. Joshua 3:10 speaks of the God in this way. You will know that the living God is among you. You will know Him. You will know Him. Therefore, God is knowable. That's really important. Because so much of the world sees a God or a thing or has other gods like money or relations or all sorts of things out there. This God is unknowable. This God has purpose and design. This God has intellect. This God is breathing. This God is loving. This God is caring. This God is concerned about you. This God is a person. He's knowable and He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him. Even Paul, when he was in Athens, was talking about the unknown God, and he was trying to tell him, you can know this. You have a monument to an unknown God. Let me tell you who God is. He's not this piece of rock, and He's not unknowable. He is knowable. He is a God who wants to know you and wants you to know Him. The whole idea of Jesus coming was to put a face on Him and to say, I want to know you. I want relationship. God is amazing. So we see Jesus in the flesh, but God, the Father, is Spirit. Is Spirit. But He wants to know us. He wants you to know Him. Thirdly, He does not have a human body. I think we all know that, right? God does not have a human body. Jesus, when He came on the face of the earth, had a human body. But God the Father doesn't have a human body. And I'm really thankful that He doesn't. He doesn't have a human body. In Numbers 23:19 it says, God is not human. God is not human that He should lie. Not a human being that He should change His mind. I am so glad that God is not human. Because if He were human, He would be like me and He would fail people. As a human, we fail all the time. I'll be there at 7 and we show up at 7:10. Oops, dang, we fail people. We are fallible in relationships. We do something. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done. I messed up. We mess up with our lives. We do that. We fail because we're human. To fail is human, right? I mean, we hear that. We fail all the time. He is Spirit. He does not fail. He is Spirit. He's not human. He is Spirit. He does not fail. I am human. I am imperfect. He is Spirit. He is perfect. Perfect. What He says will happen. It will happen exactly when He says it will happen. It will exactly happen how He says it will happen. It's all going to take place. The things here in Revelation, they're going to take place. And they're going to take place exactly as He said. They're going to happen because He spoke it. He is not a human who lies. Even though we don't want to lie. I'll be there at 7. 7:10. You lied to me. I didn't mean to. I'm saying that I am so thankful that God is not human. Can you imagine serving a God who is human? Realizing, oh God, I came here to talk to Him and He's busy doing something, man. He told me to show up at 8. I showed up at 8. He's not here. What's going on, man? God, you know. I prayed that it wouldn't be rain, but then it rained. What are you doing, man? Are you taking a nap? What's going on? Are you tired? What? That's not our God. Our God is not human. Thank God. He's Spirit. He's Spirit. And He wants us to begin to understand what is Spirit. Spirit's alive. Spirit's living. Spirit's a person. Spirit doesn't have a human body to fail you. Spirit wants to know you. Wants you to know Him. Wants to enter into this dimension of worship in spirit and in truth. But what does that mean? Sometimes we think that, you know, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, we see the arm of the Lord, or we talk about His hand, or we get the idea in Scripture that He hears and that He's got a mouth and He's got eyes and all of these things. But that's anthropomorphic. That means a way of describing God with anatomical or emotional terms so that humans can better understand Him. It's so we can better understand Him. But He doesn't have any of that. Although we can hear His voice. Although we can feel His presence. There's something in spirit that happens here. I don't touch God. But I can feel Him. I feel like He's here. It's amazing. You see, if God had a physical body, He couldn't be infinite. He'd be limited by His physical body. He couldn't be omnipresent if He was a human in a human body. He couldn't be omnipresent. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time, all places. And not just all places, all tenses. He can be past, present, and future, all at the same time. How can that happen? I don't know. He's spirit. He's past, present, and future all at the same time. How do you know that? Look at, He wrote all of this. All of this, it's going to happen. How does He know it's going to happen? He's been there. Been there, done that. He's past, present, He's not human. Exactly. He's God. He's way, 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 way above what we could possibly understand. He's not human. He's amazing. Revelation 1:8 says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word Almighty is all-ruling. God is an absolute and universal sovereign. He's omnipotent, having unlimited power. He's able to do anything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Whether you said it or just thought it, He knows it. And He knows what you're going to think about tomorrow. This is God. He's not human. He's spirit. He's spirit. He's incredible. He's amazing. As a human, He can't be all of these things: infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. But as spirit, He can. The spirit is a living being without the restrictions of the body. Fourthly, you see this? Can all of you see this? Can you guys see what's in there? Some people can't see what's in there. Can you guys see what's in there? Can you guys see what's in there? Look close. You see what's in there? You know what's in here? Do you know what's in here? God's in here. Oops, a little mouth. Do you see Him? Can you see Him? You see Him in there? Can you see Him? Can anybody see Him? You know why you can't see Him? He's invisible! Yes! Duh, we all know that, right? Then why didn't you answer the question? He's invisible. He's invisible. He's in there. But He's right here. He's right there. He's over there. He's right there. He's there. He's invisible. He's alive. He's personable. He doesn't have a human body. He's invisible. He's everywhere. He's amazing. God is incredible. Invisible. Invisible. Paul called Him the invisible God, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true God. John assured that no man has seen God at any time. Nobody has ever seen Him. Why? Because He's invisible. Can you see God? No, He's invisible. The show-ups that have happened, God's used something else. He's used probably the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ when all of a sudden people had this impression that God was there or saw something, but you can't see Him because He is a spirit. You can't see Him with body, with humanness, with eyes. You have to see Him with spirit. You see, spirit sees spirit. Spirit talks to spirit. Spirit thinks like spirit. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit so you could see Him who's invisible. So you could hear Him who says nothing to the ear. So you could feel Him that you can't touch. So you could move and obey Him that's invisible. His Spirit speaks to spirit. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is all of this. This is touch, this, that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. I want that car. I want this. I want, hey, oh, what can I have? Oh, I want, I got to feel good. Oh, I need this. I need, that's flesh. But the Spirit hears. Spirit, flesh hears noise. Flesh hears voices. Flesh hears that. Spirit hears. Spirit hears that. Flesh feels this. Spirit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Tasting Him. Sensing Him. I hear Him. I hear what He's saying. He's asking me to do something. He's invisible. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's Spirit. And He gave me the Spirit that we could connect. So we can connect. So we can worship. True. Spirit. And in truth. Because God is invisible, we can know Him apart from our physical senses. That's how we're supposed to know Him. And yet we have so much that interferes because our natural senses are taking over rather than our spiritual sense. You see, in the natural, the way up is to climb higher. In the spirit, it's the way up is the way down. Over here, you want to gain your life? Get more, do more, have more, you know, more power. Oh, in the spirit, you want to gain your life? Oh, you let go of it. You lose it. Oh, yeah, I get it. They don't get it. They don't. The flesh doesn't get this. You just let go of it. You just let go of it. There's no problem. Just lose it. Oh, you'll gain it. Oh, it's a spiritual concept. Oh, I'm starting to live by a different set of understanding, a different set of ways. I've lived so long here. Touch, feel, want, desire. And yet God's Spirit, He says, gave you the Holy Spirit so you would sense, feel, desire. Holy Spirit. He said to worship God in spirit and truth. What does that mean? What does it mean to worship God? He's looking for them to worship in spirit and in truth. God makes the connection between God being spirit and worshiping Him in spirit and truth. In spirit and in truth. In truth, accurately, the way He wants. In spirit, not by the flesh, not by feelings, not by all of this. Oh, I like that because it makes me feel good. Instead, connecting with God and He's showing me what is good. He's showing me what is good. Oh, man. A whole different way of living than this. It's spirit to spirit. To worship God is not just being bodily present in a worship service. I'm worshiping God. I'm here. I'm in body. I got my hand up. I'm singing. That's not what it means. To worship God in spirit is to have your spirit connected to His spirit. To worship in spirit in a worship is to have your spirit connected to His spirit as we're going through this. As we're singing, we're going, Lord, I want to connect. There's going to be something that's going to transpire between the two of us here. There's going to be a relationship. There's going to be knowledge going back and forth. Me knowing you and you knowing me. And you're going to impart little tidbits of things to me. And I'm going to start telling you about where my life is at and the needs that I have. But you're going to then give me spiritual guidance and insight and all of that. And all of a sudden, we have this relationship of worship where we have this interchange between the divine and the human. But the human spirit that's inside of me is connecting to that who is spirit. We start seeing things differently. The depth of your spiritual side relating to God who is spirit. We connect at the deepest level together. That's spirit to spirit. And then you know what happens? Truth comes in. Spirit connected to spirit. And then what happens? Truth. Spirit and truth. You see, we connect at the deepest level together. And as we look, and as we do, we can look at the face of truth. He is truth, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. We can look at the face of truth. We can let truth examine us instead of us examining truth. We can let truth examine us instead of us examining what we think is truth. It's a whole different concept. He starts by His truth, examines me and my life. Whew, wow, baby. And as a result, the truth will change us and it will set us free. Okay, I'm just... In a worship service, God shows up at a deep level. He who is spirit touches our spirit and we connect. And we let truth in. We let truth examine us. We let truth convict us. We let truth change us. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth starts to change us by the vehicle of the Spirit that we've opened up with the Lord. This truth in here, it starts to change us. It doesn't have to be a worship service, though. I think it's meant to be a daily life of worship unto God, where all of a sudden we're just an open vessel, an open heaven, and we're just hearing what the Spirit says. We're just connecting in the Spirit. And we decided to leave some of the flesh behind. It says that the Father is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means that seeking and being that which worships in spirit and truth is a true worshiper, at least as I read it here. Let me go back to it. But the hour is coming, and now is when the... Say it with me. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. So it sounds to me like true worshipers have to be those who are worshiping, who have a connection in the Spirit, who are opening up their lives, who are saying, do whatever you want in my life, oh God. We're allowing the truth to examine us, and their lives are being changed in this worship experience as we're knowing God. We change. We become more like Him. We become more spiritual. We become more of the Spirit. I have to share dream that I had. And I, every once in a while I get a dream, which is a bummer because I want to see visions. Scripture says your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. And I'm just praying for a vision. Every about 6 months I'll get a dream like something like this. And I got this one. It was on December 3rd. I'm going to kind of read and explain, and I hope you all understand how dreams go, right? It's like, that doesn't make sense. I mean, what's wrong with you? That's how dreams go, okay? Everybody got that with me? Okay. I had this dream about Jesus. I was preaching a message about Jesus taking our place on the cross. And it was like he was our twin. And I don't know why the twin was so important, but it was like, hey, it should be me. He's me up there. He's taking my place. And anyway. So I'm preaching about Jesus taking our place on the cross. And then I go down this hall, and I don't understand where it's at. It's kind of like we're in a coliseum, and there's all these exits going out, and I go out one of these exits. So I go out this exit. I go down this hall, and as I come out to the outside, I see what my mind perceives as, and I get it right off the bat, the New Jerusalem. And it was crazy, because here's this New Jerusalem, and I'm seeing it kind of like in actuality with mountains and stuff, but also in map form too, because all the roads going in are in blue. Like, you know, with your Google map, you've got the blue road that tells you. So I got all these roads, everything's blue. It's just all, everything's coming into Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, and there's all of this blue happening, just blue everywhere, you know? And I'm going, oh man, this is so cool. I'm walking towards it, just, and again, it's like in a map form, you know? But in mountains, and so I'm walking toward this New Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden, as I'm walking towards it, Jesus is right there with me. He shows up. It is so cool. By the way, he shows up, and I look at him, I go, because I wrote this down, I go, he's black. It was so cool. Because I think Jesus was black. Because I'm black in here somewhere. It was so cool. I was sharing with Collins and Roberta about this, and, you know, sharing that, hey, he's black. And they all just laughed and said, we know he is. So I'm going together, and then, you know how it is, and then we're walking together in the New Jerusalem, and all of a sudden then we start tumbling somehow. And I don't know, it's not like we fell down and going down the mountain, but we're getting mixed up somehow, and we're going down, and as we're rolling over kind of each other, I have what I can't describe it. It was the greatest peace I think I have ever felt. I just like, oh my gosh. I literally can't describe it. It was just like, wow. I'm with him who is the Prince of Peace, right? I turn to Jesus and I say, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. I'm not always a very lovable person. But you loved me. You loved me when I was walking away from you. You loved me when I was doing so many things I'm ashamed of. You love me even now, when I'm not always doing everything 100% right. And I just had this feeling of love. And I just thanked him. Thank you for loving. Thank you for loving. And then I had this feeling of not knowing if now am I in heaven or am I in earth, and I don't know where I'm at, and I'm trying to figure this out, and then I feel like, I'm back on earth. I'm back on earth. Because I didn't know. Maybe is this heaven? Is this the New Jerusalem? I didn't know how it all, but I just had this great feeling. But now I know I'm kind of back on earth. And then I got this amazing connection with the Spirit that it was like I could think what he was thinking, and I could feel what he was feeling, and I was doing what I felt he wanted me to do. And there was no word spoken. It was just all of a sudden, I got it. It's like I could read his mind. It was like his thoughts were coming into my head, and I was able to start doing his thoughts. And then I woke up. I woke up and I just, oh man. Then I went and I wrote it down, and I know this isn't Bible, I know this isn't anything, right? But he was talking to me. This connection in the Spirit, this idea of doing what he wants us to do, this not with words, but I know. I had a relationship with him I don't know that I've ever tasted of in that dream at that moment. I just knew him. I knew his thoughts. I knew what he wanted me to do. I knew what he wanted me to say. You know, we can worship and we can go through the motions, but God is looking for those who want to connect at a deeper level, and not everybody does. Sometimes we go through and I'm saying, okay, that's it. I got all I want. Nope, don't. I got all these feelings. I got all this. I don't, you know, don't mess. That's good for you, but I'm just, you know, hey, I'm going to go to heaven someday. And that's good. I'm not, please, hear me. And I'm not trying to put a heavy trip on anybody because I'm not there. I'm just trying to say what I think is Scripture saying is that he's Spirit. And he's deep is calling to deep. Hey, I've got more for you. Hey, I've got more for you. Hey, come here. I want to show you something. I want you to sense something. I want you to feel something. I want you to see something from my perspective. I want you to know something that I know, God is saying. God is looking for those who want to hear what His Spirit has to say. He's looking for those who want to do what His Spirit wants them to do. And in the process, all of this becomes like second nature. Now hear me. Second nature is a characteristic or habit in someone that appears to be instinctive because that person has behaved in a particular way so often. It just becomes second nature, right? He's wanting us to have this relationship, this connection where we can hear him so clearly that we just walk him out. It just becomes second nature. It is our nature. It's our new nature, right? We're a new creature. This is what he designed for us, that we would have this thing inside of us that would respond to what the Father is saying to us, what God is doing. We would connect spirit to spirit and we would start, yeah. Okay, hey, that's going to cost me. That's going to take some time, but that's what I sense that from God. So I'm going to go do that, because even though that's going to cost me, and even though that'll be, but God's saying, God's in it. I'm just saying we're so knee in it. Okay, what'll it cost me, and what are you doing? Da, 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 da. Carrie asked me as I'm going home, hey, can you wait for a little bit? Nope, I'm going now. Can't wait. Got things to do. Important guy. Go home and eat something. Do we listen? Because that was me oriented. But what is it like to live Spirit and God oriented? You see, instinctive means relating to or prompted by instinct, apparently unconscious or automatic. It's just in there. I respond and do what the Spirit... it's just second nature to me. I hear God. I just know His thoughts, and I want to more. And I just... Hey, okay, if it costs more, no worries. Hey, if you got to do it, no worries. I want my spirit to be so in tune with Him who is Spirit that hearing His voice and responding with straightway obedience is second nature, is instinctive, is automatic. Walking in a way that I can sense and know what the Spirit is saying and instinctively respond without thinking because it's who I am. Walking to the beat of a different drummer, and the person is not me drumming. The person is the Spirit of God that's drumming, and I'm walking to a different beat. And people go, "You're a little bit different." And I praise God that I am. I want to listen to a different drummer. I think I'm going to stop there. Sorry about the second part. Please hear a number of things. I'm not trying to put anything on anybody, please. But I am trying to say, encourage you. Is there something a step closer to that connection that you could take? In faith? Is there something where you could, maybe you're not there, but long for it? Just long for something more, Lord. I long for something more. Something more of the Spirit and not the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't know. There's so many more people walking so much further on this side. And yet I feel that God, I want more. We want our spirits to connect. I want to hear the voice that doesn't get uttered. I want to think your thoughts. I want to do your will. A lot of times I get messed up in the feeling, the this, the body, the humanness of who I am. But oh God, let more of the Spirit, let more of the Spirit, the Spirit connect with you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to me, and I do thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. I love you guys.